Hello and welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on Black Panther sequels. I am Noah, and as always, I am joined by
Kayla,
and we're back reviewing another Marvel movie. The hits just keep on coming. This is the third one this year, though, right?
Am
I forgetting one? Was Doctor Strange the first one after Spider-Man?
Doctor Strange.
Thor.
We did talk about Moon Knight as well. And
oh, right.
There have been more episodes, but Hawkeye, this is the third movie. As well.
Right, okay. So this is the fifth episode. I don't think we're going to be talking about anything else Marvel-related after this. So I think this is the last of the year because we skipped She-Hulk. We didn't get on that train.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Ms. Marvel. We didn't talk about...
Yeah, I watched Ms. Marvel, but we didn't talk about it. We might have talked about it a little in, like, one of our episodes.
The werewolf thing we didn't talk about.
Oh, right. I thought that actually looked pretty good. I just, like, I never watched it, but I'm a big, big fan of Michael. So, Michael G. I feel like we both are.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
So, you know, maybe I got to get
it's
around
on my
to
list.
It. Maybe next Halloween.
But yeah, I'm fine
it's
with
on the list.
There not being any more Marvel-related
yeah.
content for the remainder of the year.
Yeah, I think the rest of the movie season is looking nice without having, like, we've got Avatar 2 as the big blockbuster. I'm very excited for that. There's been all the jokes about, like, how the trailer for Avatar 2 is unfair to play before Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, because it's, like, just pales in comparison. And, like, that trailer is so good. Yeah, we'll be talking about all of that, though. The rest of the year is going to be a mix of some episodes where we talk about some of the new stuff, but also just our classic. We'll have our talk about our 2022 Christmas movies, just some of the new ones. Our, of course, Create Your Own Hallmark movie special, the third one. We're already kind of trying to whip up a couple ideas of, like, plot setting scenarios. So I think it's going to be a good end of the year, but we still got to talk about potentially the biggest movie of the at least, like, the last quarter, I would say, money-wise. I guess, unless Avatar is, like, the first one. You never know. You never know with James Cameron.
I think he said something in an interview about Avatar flopping, where he wasn't sure if it would flop, and I was like,
yeah,
it's going to make so much money. There's no way it doesn't make
a shit ton
of money.
I'm really excited because I don't know. I just feel like it's going to be a vibe, and I am going to be very happy.
I genuinely do not care about that movie at all. I totally forgot it was coming out until I saw the trailer.
The trailer is so good, though.
I don't even care.
It's a great trailer. And then they showed, like, another trailer for it after I saw it, because I saw the first one, like, in the re-release, and then they showed another trailer, but it was the 3D IMAX, like,
sure.
stuff, and it's like they were more in the water stuff, and that looks dope. It looks so cool. Way better than some other water effects in other recent movies that we may or may not be talking about today. Before we go any further on Black Panther, though, we do need to talk about the answers to last week's question of the week, which was, what is your quintessential November movie? We got a few answers to this one. I think people had more thoughts about November movies than I was expecting. So we had some of the staples, but there's a couple curveballs in there as well.
Yeah, I think we hit most of the ones that I was expecting people to say.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Let's see. So we have on Instagram, Mike, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Yep, this is definitely one that most, I think, especially Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is a mostly definitely Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I feel like it's a Thanksgiving movie. Like, it's a precursor to Christmas. Like, maybe it's one you put on Thanksgiving weekend where you're like, all right, time to get into the Christmas mood, but not quite. You put on Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Exactly. Exactly. Similarly, Zach Smith said Miracle on 34th Street. A favorite of the pod.
Yeah.
Of the specifically the old one you love.
I'm the new one, their newer one, don't care about. But the older one,
I like the new one. That's the one I watched when I was younger. Yeah, so I feel like I just have a soft spot.
It just pales in comparison to the greatest one.
The greatest Christmas movie of all time,
Miracle on 34th Street. I agree. I guess it could be counted as, like, I watch it at Christmas time, but it definitely has, you know, Macy's and all that going on in it. So right. I feel like it's a good transitional, like, it's not quite Christmas, but you're more right. in the season, more in the spirit, late November.
Yep. And I feel like it's not as in-your-face Christmas. Like, sure. Santa is in it, but, like, it feels a little more grounded, a little bit more, I mean, it's not set, there's, like, no North Pole. It does feel a little bit more like a good entryway into the real, like, the Santa.
Yeah,
Claus,
it's one of the craziness. Only, like, Santa movies, like, Santa-centric movies that I like. Because I'm not a big Santa guy.
You know what the best Santa-centric movie is?
Arthur Christmas.
Arthur Christmas, exactly. You're exactly right. The best, we got to do a whole episode one year.
I know. We should.
That is the cult classic. We were talking about cult classic. That is our cult
classic. I think it is. Because
Arthur Christmas.
I feel like there is a select following for that movie. And it didn't get as great reviews when it first came out. Like, it got decent reviews, but it's not one that's, like, hailed, except for by a few people. Like, I think you and I in Houston are the only people I ever see talking about Arthur Christmas. So
it's a great movie. The Arthur Christmas hive remains strong, and we will not be silenced. I will watch it this year. Lastly, on Instagram, we got Hunter, two of the classics, Fantastic Mr. Fox and Knives Out. Speaking of Knives Out, I'm wondering, I feel like Knives Out 2 is going to be more of like a summer vibe, though.
It feels like a summer vibe. I feel like if you set it there, then if that's your location, then that dictates.
Yes. Dictates the feel. But the first one definitely is very November-ish. All the leaves are off the trees. It's a little chilly outside. Definitely agree. Great November movie. What did we get over on Twitter, though?
Yeah, so Danny also said Fantastic Mr. Fox, which I think we're on board with that, too.
Yes.
And he also said, or if I'm moody, Prisoners. Which is a far out of left field
big swerve
pick. Does not surprise me that he thought out of the box. Mm-hmm. Have you seen Prisoners?
I haven't. I think that's the only Denis Villeneuve movie I haven't seen.
Man,
I'm pretty sure.
Maybe we should do we've never seen
for Prisoners. Add it to the list.
Because I haven't seen it either.
I feel like you wouldn't like it from what I've heard. But I think it might be fun to see your reaction.
Yeah,
you know,
it's one out of my boy's career that I have not watched yet.
Right. Your boy, meaning Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
For the uninitiated. We haven't really mentioned him in a while.
Go old Jakey.
I feel like we had to wait for like the All Too Well train to kind of die down.
We had to lay low a bit. I was scared. I'm a Jake Gyllenhaal stan.
It was a rough time out there for the Jake Gyllenhaal fans, but you know, you just gotta wait out the storm.
Well, and Paul Dano is also in that.
Paul Dano's a king too.
Paul Dano, so
yes,
we'll add it to the never ending list. That doesn't surprise me that Danny said that.
Yeah.
And then other Daniel said, Pieces of April.
Never heard of
it's
this movie.
It's a 2003 film.
Okay. But it's called April. So, man.
Pieces
I mean, I know it's the name, but you
of
know,
April.
It's already,
let's see.
Already a hard sell.
Quirky and rebellious April Burns lives with her boyfriend in a low rent New York City apartment. When she discovers her mother has a fatal form of breast cancer, she invites the clan to her place for Thanksgiving. So it sounds like it is set in November.
You know who directed this movie?
The guy who directed Timothy Green.
Indeed.
I love
that movie. Is kind of a bop. That's also a cult classic.
That means we should do childhood classics of that because
I've only seen it once, but I would do it. I would do it.
I
loved that movie when I watched it.
I had a weird relationship with that movie as a kid. I really liked it. And
it's a really weird movie.
I'm probably the top listener of the soundtrack, I would bet, because I'm a big fan of the Timothy Green soundtrack.
Yes. That movie is fire. And it was bashed when it was
released. You know that Lin-Manuel Miranda's in that movie?
Lin-Manuel Miranda's in The Odd Life of Timothy Green. I think he's the doctor, right?
Is he?
Let me look. I'm going to... Okay, it just says Reggie in the cast list. Not no idea who that is.
No, he's definitely not a doctor. He looks like...
Who is Reggie in The Odd Life of Timothy Green? Okay, I know it's Lin-Manuel
Miranda. He looks like the weird-ass neighbor. Wait, who is he? I don't remember any of this.
Oh, yeah, he looks like kind of like a stoner a little bit, but like his haircut is so bad. It's one of the worst haircuts I've ever seen.
Weird.
Oh yeah, he's like
a gardener. Is he a gardener?
He's a gardener guy. Okay. Yeah. He's not a doctor. I think I was thinking doctor because like I think he advises them on plant health.
Okay.
So like he's like the doctor for plant kits.
Great. Love that. I did not remember that part of the movie at all.
Oh my goodness.
This is another gracious. Entry for like movies with like hot Dilfin.
Jennifer Gardner
parents.
And CJ Adams. Yeah. Joel Edgerton. CJ Adams is Timothy. I'm just reading the top cast. I'm not even going to lie. It's too late for this. But yeah, you're right. And I think that's another movie that people don't really talk about and probably don't even remember. Like, I don't think I've ever seen anyone talk about that movie except for
me.
Us.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think people watched it. I just.
And then moving on, because this is not an Odd Life of Timothy Green episode.
It is now.
Everyone's here for Black Panther content, and they're like, "What the hell is going on?"
Timothy Green forever.
Angela Heisinger on Facebook said,
"My mother,
your mother, yes."
You don't have, yeah, sure.
What do you want me to call? What do you want me to call her?
No,
your
it's fine.
Mother?
No, I just wanted to. I just didn't want it to sound so formal.
So formal.
I
don't think what I've was ever. The answer? I'm kind of stressed now that if she listens to this, she's gonna hear me have been called her Angela. I don't think I've ever called her Angela in my life.
I don't think she will. But if she's listening, then now she can hear her answer. Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, and that's also another. I think that one, Fantastic Mr. Fox, and well, those are like the main two. What's like the next of like the Holy Trinity of
November movies?
November movies. I think those two are for sure. And then there's like,
I mean, I feel like Knives Out is a new November banger.
Because like, I think we said When Harry Met Sally last week, but I think like generally Knives Out is a better answer. Because it takes place like all during like the one time.
Yeah,
so I just
during
think, like,
the fall season.
Right. So I think, yeah, Knives Out, Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, Fantastic Mr. Fox, your trifecta for November. But with that, thank you all for writing in for that question. And at the end of this episode, we will have another question that is related to our conversation on Black Panther Wakanda Forever. And then you can write in for that one and we'll read it in our next episode and so on and so forth. So, this first half of this episode will just be completely non-spoiler because this movie hasn't been out for, as we're recording this, for even a week. So, we want to make sure some people can listen if they haven't seen it. We'll go over some of the background of the movie, some of our general thoughts. But let's dive right in to this film, you know, to the newest entry. What one are we on for Marvel? Like 26?
I don't even know. I don't know if we're like in terms of movies, in terms of expanding the
universe.
Let
me look on Letterboxd because I have ranked all of the movies. It's a private list because it's a really awful ranking.
Yeah, my Marvel ranking is also like, there's no way it's accurate. I have a private list too.
Yo,
because it's
this
been...
is the 30th. This is the 30th one.
Is that including series or just films?
That is not including series, okay. Just films. This is the 30th feature
wow.
film. That is actually, I'm surprised people haven't mentioned that. It's a pretty big milestone.
That is.
The big 3-0. 10 foot movies to a midlife crisis.
My list is private as well because like, it's so many movies for one. And two, like... How by the time I get around to like watching a new one, it's been 3 or 4 years since I've seen some of the other ones,
exactly.
Or even longer. Like, I can't even remember the last time I watched Ant-Man and the Wasp. Like,
no, one time in theaters, that was it for me.
So,
yeah, and like, there's so many now that I'm never gonna like do the thing like you do with like Star Wars, we did, like where you sit down and watch them all in a shorter amount of time, like in order. Like there's just too many. And yeah, I don't think I will ever in my life have a solid Marvel ranking at this point. Like I just
yeah,
impossible.
I think like end of Endgame, maybe like I could have had a semi definitive ranking.
Yeah, I had mine public during then, but like with this phase four, it's just like,
I had to
tough.
Restart my ranking because I started ranking them when like we were watching through them as a family, and then we kind of just like just it ended.
Just stopped.
It stopped. And
which
so
was the last one that you watched?
We got
maybe
up
that was
to
reason.
Guardians, so we were like going through some of the.
You were right on the cusp of like a bunch of great ones.
I know, and I don't know. It just never happened, and
you
so
made it through like the slog fest in the beginning.
Yeah.
Damn.
So my I have like a newer ranking that's been ones I've seen in the last like.
That's
couple
a good call.
Years.
Maybe I'll start doing that if, like, I ever watch it.
But even when I was adding Wakanda Forever to it, I was still like, which one was Iron Man 2 and which one was Iron Man 3? Like, what happened in which movies?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I just kind of put it generally where I think it is, but, like, I'm not really very concerned about it anymore. Really just, like, I think the top 10... I have a good feel for. So if I ever really like one, then I guess I'll have a good feel for it. But this one, no spoilers, is not in my top 10. So didn't have to worry about that.
And I feel like it's easy enough to have a, I have a more definitive like phase four ranking. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah, definitely. I could definitely rank the ones of this phase easily.
Well, do you want to move on to
sure.
the film
yeah, let's move.
Itself?
Let's move it, move it. Yeah, onto the movie.
Do you want to read this generic synopsis that I copied and pasted from IMDb?
All right, yeah. Here's the synopsis for Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Queen Ramonda, Shuri, M'Baku, Okoye, and the Dora Milaje fight to protect the Kingdom of Wakanda from intervening world powers in the wake of King T'Challa's death. As the Wakandans strive to embrace their next chapter, the heroes must band together with the help of War Dog Nakia and Everett Ross and forge a new path for their nation.
Wow.
So basically pretty basic stuff. And like there's a lot going on, but we don't want to like, again, give so much away. There is stuff in the trailer, but I feel like it's kind of like ambiguous. So we don't want to like give a ton of stuff away with this. But that's basically, yeah, they're fighting off people from taking the vibranium and... That kind of goes from there. Well, you have some background written here about just like
the
history of this
yes.
movie, which I feel like most people listening, they'll have a little bit of information on some of the behind the scenes drama from the movie. But let's relive.
Yeah, I've got some of that right now. Info for you that I researched today. So right. Basically, after the first one came out, which was a wild success, Kevin Feige immediately wanted to do a sequel, so this was in, like, 2018. And so he had said up front he wanted to continue to work with Ryan Coogler, and the original goal was to grow Black Panther as king and kind of see his progression through two different sequels. So he was going to do that in addition to other MCU appearances, obviously, since they kind of are contractually obligated to multiple movies. So Coogler's whole aim was to basically, like, the Black Panther becomes king, and then kind of what T'Challa does as king was what the series was supposed to look like, the three movies. So development was confirmed in 2019 at San Diego Comic-Con. They were like, yes, a sequel is happening, but there's not really any kind of confirmation about it. And so then they announced the release date would be May 6, 2022. They announced that at D23, and it was confirmed the script had been written. And part of the original plan, which I didn't know, was to include elements of T'Challa from the What If series.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I guess there were things... Did you watch that episode?
I did not.
Yeah, I didn't watch it either, that show, all right. at all. but apparently... There was, like, I guess something in it or things they liked about that version of T'Challa that they were, like, gonna maybe kind of sort of morph into it or kind of use as inspiration, it sounded like, which could have been really interesting to see.
Yeah, definitely.
And then when Chadwick died of colon cancer in August 2020, Coogler had made a statement that he had been unaware of Chad's illness. So this was, the script had already been, like, written at this point.
Right.
There were a lot of conversations then, because also, like, Kevin Feige didn't know, and it sounded like a lot of the executives at Marvel didn't know, which makes sense since it was private. Then at that point, it was kind of what is going to happen. And that was a lot of the questions that many fans had. So there were conversations bounced around among executives that were the same conversations that fans were having of whether or not they should recast the role of Black Panther, whether or not they should shift the mantle to Shuri, which would be concurrent with the comics, or discontinue the film altogether and just kind of use some other form of Wakanda in the MCU without the Black Panther. So there are a lot of questions around it. But at this point, the draft of the script was already, like, prepped and ready to go. So now they're kind of like, oh, we need to rewrite everything. So the release date was moved back to July 8th, 2022, which is really not that much, considering they
have a full month to do
another movie. And Feige confirmed then that T'Challa would not be recast. In January 2021, they said the direction of the sequel was to further explore the characters and different subcultures of Wakanda, which I don't know how much of
I don't know if that happened. Not gonna lie.
And then also, like, this is just random, but I thought we would include it because we like Daniel Kaluuya, but he confirmed that he would not be returning, and this was due to him having a conflicting schedule with Jordan Peele's Nope.
Yeah, as someone who we didn't love Nope, but I will say that was probably
I think it was a good move. Yeah, I mean, he's cool, so whatever he thinks is good, good for him. Coogler said in March 2021 that the script was still being written, and it was the biggest challenge of his career, and one of the hardest things he's ever done to work on the film without Chadwick. He ended up using a lot of the same storyline and plot points. Obviously, we'll never probably get to see the original script for any reason. But he said that he was disappointed that there were a lot of things that obviously T'Challa would have said that he wanted, like, Chadwick to say, or things that would be meaningful in the script.
I would be really interested to see, like, like, what that script is. I think that'd be really interesting.
Yeah, so the original script followed the same grief plot line. So I think it was easy enough. I mean, not easy enough, but they didn't have to restart
same
from
thematic
scratch.
Elements.
They were able to utilize a lot of the pieces they already had and sort of adapt it. It was just going to be more focused on grief after the blip, opposed to King T'Challa's death in the movie.
Right.
So they sort of just adapted the timeline to where it would end up with this. So then the title, Black Panther Wakanda Forever, was revealed in May 2021. Production started in June 29th, 2021. So that's a pretty tight turnaround. I mean, like, Coogler, like, really pulled through on that.
6 months. That's crazy.
I hope that, I hope that he's okay.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't work on one of these again. I'm not going to lie.
I think he's doing the third one. It sounded like
he needs to make something new. I feel like I feel bad for him.
I don't know. I think he likes doing the. I think these mean a lot to him. But I can understand the mental toll that it must be.
Yeah. Like, well, I think the third one might be easier, obviously, like, for a lot of reasons. So I think this is definitely would be the harder one.
And then I had to call out, there were a lot of people they brought on, but I had to call out that they brought on the Loki cinematographer, since we've commented about how much we liked their work in Loki. And I think it showed. I don't think the cinematography was as good or as creative as Loki.
A little dark, a little hard to see sometimes.
Yeah,
not gonna lie.
But I do think there were some things that you could tell they were trying to, like, make it marginally better as much as they could with whatever Marvel likes to do in post-production with these films.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But apparently they use a lot of, like, anamorphic lenses and stuff, which
that's cool.
I didn't notice that. Apparently, but they did use them.
Good for you. Yeah.
But the script, the script went through 5 different changes since shooting began. So they started shooting and they were still writing the script in like August. It hadn't even been finished yet.
It's almost like I could have guessed that from not even knowing it.
So the release date was pushed to November 11th, 2022. There were a lot of delays in the shooting schedule. Obviously, most of it revolved around a certain someone. Part
maybe
of that,
the lead of the film, maybe can't say legally.
So what I read, so obviously there was the vaccination stuff, and how this went down. Which, do you know how this went down?
I probably do, but it's been so long.
Okay, so I didn't know this, actually.
I read it today.
When they were doing, I'm assuming it was the car chase scene is what the rumor is. The, like, the scene on, there's a car chase scene. I don't want to spoil it.
That's not really a spoiler.
Yeah,
but
there's
a
car chase scene. But apparently she got injured in the car chase scene.
Yo.
So, like, she actually, like, left set and went home to the UK to, like, recoup from this. And so she, then that was when, like, vaccinations were, like, before they mandated vaccines. So they were already on a weird schedule because they had to shoot around her because of her injury. And then when she needed to fly back into America, she couldn't get back into the country because of her vaccination status. And then also she couldn't work on the set because of her vaccination status. So that is my understanding. That was kind of what I read today. That I mean, I don't know how much of that is like alleged. And how much of that, but basically...
Well, it's definitely not alleged that there was some issue with getting her to work on the set at some point.
Yeah, and it does seem like maybe some of the injury stuff, because I don't remember that ever being public knowledge. So
I remember hearing there was some injury. I don't remember if I remember hearing that it was her.
So there may be some... I mean, obviously, she publicly made anti-vax posts as well. But I do think maybe
some of
the...
You know what a great theory is?
What?
You know, she gets injured. She's at home. She has a lot of time on her hands, you know, researching different things, going on Facebook a lot.
Uh-huh.
Falling down that rabbit hole.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's what happens when you're on your phone a lot, guys.
Yeah,
let
but
that
it's
be a
hard
to
know
you.
How much of it is, like,
it is.
Convoluted and what was actually true about it. Because, I mean, rumors can fly around, but...
And we'll never know.
Either way...
How much was true.
You know, this...
Unless they do a crazy behind the scenes.
Yeah,
I'd love to see
Disney
that.
Would never let anyone
so
out
funny.
In the open.
I'm sure that there's some great footage out there.
But in general, there were already going to be shooting delays because this was, like, at the beginning of a lot of the COVID regulations. And, like, people kept getting COVID and they had to, like, keep pausing shooting because people had COVID or other illnesses or having to quarantine. So it was just, like, it sounds like the whole production in general was just,
like, a nightmare.
A shit show. And it didn't finish wrapping until March. So, like, they were shooting from the end of June to March, which is, like...
That's crazy. That's wild.
I mean, that's basically... That's a long time for a movie.
That's almost like Titanic.
Yeah, even for, a blockbuster like that.
Oh, yeah, that's way longer.
That is way longer than it should have been. And I wonder if that contributed to some of the story issues. I don't know. It's hard to say.
I think you can definitely feel some of the... I don't know. The seams a little bit. Like, and you can feel, like... some of the disconnectedness between some of the scenes of the movie or some of the character arcs kind of feel a little wobbly. So I think you can kind of feel a little bit of that, but we'll get into that. We've been talking a lot about, so we should get into our thoughts soon, but you do have here, I think it's important to note, this is the biggest ever opening for November, a movie that came out in November, and the second biggest this year.
Yeah, do you know which movie it beat for biggest opening for month of November?
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I don't know.
Hunger Games: Catching Fire previously held this record. So
great
that's a pretty big deal to beat out.
No, yeah.
I mean, not a lot of movies release in November like this, yeah. but that's a pretty big deal.
Catching Fire is a big movie.
Because Hunger Games was, I went to Catching Fire opening night.
Hell yeah.
So, do you want to read some of the numbers here, though?
Yeah, so is this 180 million over the weekend, right?
Yeah, it could. There were some that said it was a little bit higher than that. Mm-hmm. But I did it earlier today, so I'm assuming the number may be more accurate now. But when I wrote this, it was at 180.
Yeah, so that's 84 Friday, 56.5 Saturday, 39.5 Sunday. And I'll be interested to see, though, next week how we're doing, because it's been a trend the last few theatrical releases, that their numbers go way down the second weekend, because it's like all of the big fans got to see it once, but you don't have a lot of people either. Maybe it's not, the word of mouth thing isn't as much of a thing with Marvel movies, because everyone knows about Marvel movies, and they're not as rewatchable as some of these last few have been. So I'm interested to see, because this one is a bit more of has a bit more cultural significance than like Doctor Strange 2, how the numbers kind of, if they will continue with the success or if they will drop a lot next week.
Sure.
We will see. But expectations going into this one, you know, I saw this a little, most of like big movies I try to see opening night or like Friday. I saw this one a little later on a Sunday, so I already knew some of the reactions. I didn't really read reviews, but I knew that the thoughts were mixed from a lot of people. There was some people that really didn't like it, some people that really liked it, and some people that were in the middle. So I definitely knew that it wasn't going to be like an out and out, just like a for sure great movie. You know, like I knew that there probably were going to be some things I didn't like, probably were going to be some things that I did like. And I would say for the most part, that is what I got. There was a lot of things not to like, but there were, definitely as it went on towards the end, just a lot of things that I ended up actually liking how they did them, how they brought the certain things together. Like I said before, it definitely feels like very messy. So there's just like, I think there is like a really great like 4.5 star movie in here, like up to par with the original Black Panther, because I do think that's like one of the best Marvel movies. But I just feel like there's a lot of other things going on while all the good stuff is going on that I'm like, I feel like this is just taking away from things, or like it's not really fitting in to what this movie should be. It feels like either extraneous or just like it's messing up how the pacing is working with the movie. So yeah, a lot of things, like I said, a lot of things that I didn't like, but there were some things I think by the end that I was like, oh, I think there was like a good movie in there as well.
Sure. Yeah, I didn't have a lot of expectations going in, mostly because like I just haven't really liked this phase at all, and so I just don't care.
It's not a phase, Mom.
It's not a phase.
It's not a phase.
It's real life. Oh. So it's not that I'm not, I mean, I liked the first Black Panther movie a lot, but I think it just kind of was one of those things that was like, I am excited for this at some level, but at the same time, like, I am kind of just tired of Marvel content was kind of where my head was at. And also, yeah, like, I just am not in a place right now to be sitting in a theater for 3 hours. I know
it's a long movie.
Long movies are the trend right now. And normally I can be on board. Like, I'm fine with long movies, like, if they're justified. I didn't feel like the length of this one was justified. But I was like, oh my gosh, I have to sit through 30 minutes of trailers and then 2 hours and 40 minutes of this movie that I don't even particularly like want to be seeing right now. I thought it was fine. I think there were quite a few good things in it.
Yeah.
I think some of my biggest complaints come from my dude Kevin Feige just trying to make this new phase be something it doesn't need to be, and like just connect everything. And it's like, I just want the movie. I just want a normal movie about the people in Wakanda.
About not Martin Freeman, basically.
Yeah, and I didn't even... We can talk about all this in non-spoilers, but like there's a whole other side plot line that with Ironheart, which that's not a spoiler because people knew that she was going to be in this. But like they're setting all that up too. And so you're watching it and you're like... This character could be really fun if it wasn't being set up for a show, if you know what I mean. That was a lot of what I was thinking. I don't know when that show comes out, but do you know when that show comes out?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But yeah, like there were things you could feel more. I think the original Black Panther was really great a lot because it definitely felt very disconnected from Marvel as a whole. And I think this one has some of that. Like, I think of all the movies in Phase 4 and even a lot of the shows, this has felt the most disconnected from Marvel. There's just, like, a few things here and there where it's, like, which sometimes makes it feel worse, where it's, like, every, like, 25 minutes you're reminded, oh, right, where this is, like, supposed to be, like, connected to this whole cinematic universe and we're also thinking about this. And then, like, you'll have another 25 minutes of just, like, a movie. And then you'll be hit with, like, another, like, ad. Like, oh, right, yeah. All right,
well, and one thing that I really don't like about that is you know it. You know that they're plugging it for something else. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, in the OG movies, before we knew that it was, like, gonna be this massive leading up to Endgame, it was kind of like, oh, wait, there's a Tesseract. They're talking about a Tesseract in this movie too. Like it was kind of like just the little things. And then you're kind of because
they didn't
the side.
Announce projects like 5 years in advance and they didn't have like these whole timelines. I feel like,
and
we can see the pieces being put together before their movies are even.
Yeah.
Out.
Whereas like the original ones, that was kind of the fun of it is they were very much their own thing, but then you kind of, there were a couple things that it was like, oh
yeah,
is this connected? And like, even when we got to Infinity War, it was kind of like, okay, we have the Infinity Stones, and you could kind of go back and be like, where was this Infinity Stone? And like, at this time.
Oh, yeah, I remember all the YouTube videos. Yep.
Yeah, so it was kind of, but now it's like, okay, this is Ironheart, and here's Martin Freeman, and here, like, you know, like.
Freaking Martin Freeman and Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah, like, and you're like, here's this. And it's like, it feels so corny. Like, it just feels so fake and gimmicky to me that I'm like, the parts that I liked about the movie, I liked for the movie itself. But then you kind of have all these other random things that just pull you out of the experience, which is disappointing because I do, like you said, I think the original Black Panther story is good. And I think that's a fun movie and gives a lot of fun things that introduce new things. Yeah. And I think this could have done that, but took it in a different direction, which it's not that I didn't like this movie, but there were a lot of things that I didn't like within the movie, if that makes sense. Like,
no, yeah, I think there were there was like a good continuation, I think, of the Black Panther movie in this, but it, like you said, I feel like it's just like way too long and there's so many things that are like don't really contribute to the continuing of the story. It's like contributing to the continuing or the starting of another story. So it's like you're watching a continuation of Black Panther, but you're also watching kind of like a continuation of Julia Louis. She was in the Winter Soldier Falcon and Winter Soldier, and also was she in She-Hulk too?
I have not watched She-Hulk, so I don't know.
I think she might be,
but
in She-Hulk,
she was in the end credits of
Black Widow, right? Yes. So you're watching a little bit of a continuation of that, and then you're watching also the start of the Ironheart story. So it's like you're it's hard to make a movie when you're trying to accomplish, like, it's trying to be a sequel to something, a sequel to something else, and also like the first movie in this one series, which is Ironheart. So I think that's something that it makes it feel very disjointed. Personally, I felt that a little bit less this movie than some of the others. Like, I think I love Doctor Strange 2, but I felt like that a lot of stuff in there, I felt like, oh, this is just like part of another movie. What was the Thor Love and Thunder? Like, I just feel like that's something that I've really felt. I didn't feel that as much in this one. And I think one reason why I liked it a little bit more than some of the recent stuff we've got is it just felt like it wasn't always like a great movie, but it felt like it wasn't a great movie for like a regular reasons why good movies aren't good, which is like either pacing or just like maybe some messy subplots that don't need to be there. Which are like normal complaints I have about a movie. But most Marvel movies I feel like aren't good just because they don't feel like real movies. Or like they're just like things that you don't complain about in other movies. Like, oh, there's too many self-winks at the audience, or I was too much reminded of this one movie, or it's not really a Captain America movie, it's an Avengers movie. Like, those are very specific Marvel complaints. But a lot of my complaints with these movies are with this movie is just like regular thing. So one thing I enjoyed about this is I didn't really feel the Marvel fatigue as much personally with this one. I felt like it was just more a superhero action movie that there were some things I liked about it, some things I didn't like about it, but I did enjoy not having that Marvel fatigue as much. And that's one reason why I think I feel a little bit like less harsh on it. Because it just doesn't make me feel as depressed, I guess, to talk about. Like, Thor Love and Thunder is a depressing movie
to talk
about.
Well, that one is just... It was also just a bad movie, too.
It's just a bad movie. It's a bad movie, and it's also bad for reasons, like, that are not... that shouldn't be reasons that you're talking... Yeah. Like, if you're talking... If we're talking about, like, a lot of Marvel movies, it feels like the complaints are, like, very specific, like I said, to Marvel. But this one, it's like... I think one of the best aspects of this and the first are the music. I think the music in both Black Panther movies is really, really good. And I really enjoyed that in this. I think the performances in this movie are good as well. What did you think about, like, Letitia Wright? Because she's like she was like kind of comedic relief, right? I would say in the first one. And now she's been like, upgraded to full on like the lead of the film. So what did you think about like how that transition went?
Yeah, I mean, I thought she did a good job. It was hard for me because I can't separate it in my mind.
Hey, know what what really helped was the fits. The fits
were fire.
She had were like, I don't know who did the costume design for this movie, but they crushed it.
Yeah, every time though that like I would start getting invested and I would be like, oh yeah, she's cool, I'm digging this. I would be like, ah, damn it, she's anti-vax. Like, it just kept it kept coming up in my brain. Like,
I agree. It's tough.
I couldn't separate it, unfortunately, which I think ruined part of the experience for me. I do think she did a good job, though. It's unfortunate that she has the stances that she has on the things in the world, because I do think that she is the perfect person for this role, and I thought that she did a great job, and I wanted to be like, yeah, let's go. Like, she's Black Panther. Cool. I'm, like, here for it. Like, strong.
Hey, spoilers. Spoilers.
Oh my God. Everyone basically knows this in the trailer. Like, yeah, we all knew based on the trailer that there was going to be.
True. And I mean, it's like you said, it's like in the comics. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
Like,
once we knew they weren't recasting T'Challa, it was like, it was the only possible other option. Anyway, but all that to say, I just. I find it very, it's very, it's a hard space for me to, like, think about, because I do think that what they did with her was interesting in this movie, mm-hmm. and I think that they gave her a nice little hero's arc in becoming a little journey.
Little religious spiritual journey.
I think they did some things with her that, you know, we love a good hero's journey of, like, the
love a hero's journey.
I mean, we love the hero's journey. We've talked about Spider-Man 2 a lot and Spider-Man 3 and kind of both of those, but specifically the whole, like, maybe I don't want to be this, or maybe I'm kind of person.
It's definitely a little more clunky in this one. Like, it is. It's like a very quick.
Yes, it is not on the same level as Spider-Man 2 by any means. But they're trying things. It's that same concept of a young hero having to take the helm of something that it's like, were they ready for it? Did they want this? This wasn't the choice they had for their life. It wasn't what they were going to do. And kind of seeing them become, especially in the wake of grief, you know, Peter Parker goes through the same exact journey. And so you kind of look at that, and I think that concept is really interesting. I think I'm making it sound a lot better than it was in this movie, because that, I think it gets really lost in the sauce. And, like, I just don't know that it, I just don't think it worked as well as it
I
should
have.
I see
what they were trying to do. And, like, sometimes, like, I appreciated the attempt. But like you said, I think it shakily sticks the landing. But the way that they got to the landing wasn't always the smoothest ride.
Yeah.
I was impressed with her performance, though. I think, like, I wasn't sure how she would handle some of the more dramatic scenes, because I just don't think I've ever seen her as an actress do that, you know? So I was impressed that she was able to do that, because I was just wondering, like, obviously, no one's going to fill, like, Chadwick's shoes at all, like, in that way, because, like, he's just an incredible leading man, and, like, that's such, like, a big void. So I was just really, that was my biggest thing, was, like, how is this going to feel like there's an actual, like, lead character that's leading, like, this entire, like, colossal 2-hour, 40-minute movie? And it's not just going to feel like an ensemble cast of people, like, moving around. And I think it started a little more ensemble-y, but I think as it went, she moved more towards the front of the story. And I think she was able to pretty much handle it. So I think, like you said, at least character-wise, they made the right choice for what to do with the story. And I think that in the future, it will be, I think they set it up well, where, like, I'm excited to see, like, what happens, I guess, next in the story of Wakanda. I don't think we want to say too much more in this non-spoiler section. Overall, I would be like, we're not going to say anything that's going to make you go see it. Like, you're going to see this regardless or not see it. Like, I just don't, with Marvel movies, it's like, it's not like you can be like, yeah, I'd recommend seeing this, you know, definitely. I'd recommend this Marvel movie. Like, people aren't going to be swayed by opinions with Marvel. They're going to watch it or they're not going to watch it. But I think, like, it is, you could, if you're going into it trying to think what to expect, just expect, don't, like, expect it to be, like, a very, like, tight, perfectly crafted movie. You just gotta, like, look for the things that they're trying to do. And basically, you can go to the bathroom for a lot of the second act, and it probably won't matter. Yeah, that's what I would say about the movie. Or it might matter, but you just save yourself a lot of boredom if you kind of take a lot of breaks in the second act. Let's go to a quick ad break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about some of the more spoilery aspects, which are the more exciting things to talk about with this movie. Okay, the main thing we should start with is, what do you think about, like, the villains and that entire thing? Because that's, like, the main thing of this movie, right? Like, the underwater people.
Yes.
I literally don't remember their names.
It started with
Avatar
ripoff
people.
A T.
when they jumped, I know this is probably from comics, but when they jumped out of the water and they were blue, I was like, are you kidding me? Is this really what we're doing here?
It's basically like undersea, under the ocean Atlantis. Like, it's like the Marvel version of Atlantis. But I don't remember what it's
called.
That's
what I figured.
I don't remember what it's called. It starts with a T. It was like to...
Right.
To something.
To something. What did you think about them as a plot point? And I guess, I mean, they'll be moving forward big, I guess.
Didn't love it. I have a lot of thoughts about it, mostly because I've read other people talk about it, and that sort of helped me solidify my thoughts about it. One thing that I read today, I don't remember who I saw it from. It was something I saw on Twitter, was that I do think, I agree with this statement, that they did, it made more sense to have them and their purposes of why they never, like, intervened or why we never knew about them than, like, the Eternals did. Because there were a lot of questions about, like, the Eternals have been here for eternity and, like,
how did we not know about them? What are you doing? Yeah.
But I think with this group, it makes more sense, like, canonically, why we haven't heard of them. That being said, I don't understand it in the context of this movie. Because it starts out with, like, you know, Wakanda versus America, basically. Wakanda versus France.
Yeah. Wakanda versus everyone on the surface.
The world basically. Their natural resources and vibranium. Yeah. And then it's kind of like...
Which is a cool idea. I think that was like a cool setup. I was like, oh, that's cool.
And I almost... Not that I need more battles with America, but I almost was like, oh, interesting. So we are setting up America military and all this stuff as the villain. Like, let's go, antagonist. which is something we don't get out of Marvel. And
I wish they would gone more that route.
Dreyfus even said, I would love that. I was like, man, what a line. Like,
yeah, it was a great
line.
That line
fucking rocked.
I know we were kind of trashing on the Martin Freeman,
yes. I think it's dumb that she's in this movie. I understand why they did it, blah, 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 blah. But I do think she's going to be, an awesome villain.
She's going to be great.
But at the
I just thought it was funny every time they cut to there and they had to be like the title card was like Virginia. And I was like, we can tell. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Good old Virginia. Yep. love it here. But yeah, it just was very muddled. I thought I didn't really understand. Like, I guess these people are going to be
I don't understand the plot at all.
Well,
the
whole scientist Ironheart thing just did not do it for me.
Well, okay. Why did they have to kill the scientist so then no one could make another machine? Right. Is that
so? Yes. So no one can mine vibranium. But
so I understood that. And then they got kidnapped. And then he was like, we have to kill the scientist. But she was like, I'm not going to let you kill the scientist. And then what happened after that? Like,
he wanted Wakanda to rule with him, which doesn't make any sense. So obviously he's pulling his own game here. But at the same time, it's like, I did not, like, because to me, the way they set up his backstory and the way they kind of developed him was that he's this, like, ruthless villain who will kill anyone on sight, basically, and, like, hates humans. And so it was very weird to me that he's like, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Let's be...
I'll set up an alliance.
I don't know. I just thought that whole concept was kind of strange. Well, like, it was just strange to me that, like, we're introducing this new group. And then we have to have them fight Wakanda. Like, that just didn't make sense to me, like, because it was like, I feel like Wakanda's, like, there wasn't even really a reason for it.
So the reason they were fighting was because they killed that one guard, right? Is that why they were, like, attacked Wakanda?
I guess.
And then Wakanda attacked back because they were like, oh, we're not going to let you play. The truce was that, we'll just be like an alliance, but we won't kill the scientists. Like, why couldn't they have done that in the beginning? Like, they literally could have just done
it. It doesn't make sense to me. And the whole final battle in general did not make sense because they're like, yeah, let's go fight. And then they're like basically like getting slaughtered. And then they're like, oh, yeah, peace. And it's like you just had like hundreds of Wakandans just like were murdered. So.
And also, can the blue people die? Because they couldn't die on the bridge. So, like...
Well, I think it was because...
What is the rule?
I don't know. Because I thought they couldn't die on the bridge because they had the mask on.
Oh, okay.
Right? Letira, because
I didn't like that. Because
that
was
where
like,
they were
she
getting...
She was like, masks don't protect. She was like, we got to get rid of this plot line.
It's
the
like
masks
do... the TikTok sound where it's like, mask on. Fuck it, mask off, mask on. Like, it's like, what is going on? But, well, and then, like, they, like, dried him out. I don't know. There's a lot of questions.
Yeah, I was like, I just didn't know that they could die.
I just thought it was all very silly.
It was very
silly, very convoluted. Goofy.
It was a very long period of them staying in that stupid underwater place and going under the sea, aerial style. And it was like that whole middle section in that second act was just so boring. And it like there was no action. And I don't really love action. Like, I'm not a big action guy. But it's a superhero movie. There is nothing exciting to happen from the car chase all the way to like when they attacked Wakanda. And that was like an hour.
Well,
it was like.
And like, it's kind of interesting because the whole thing is basically just they attack them. Then they're like, oh, man. They did this to me. They attack them. And then it's like, ah, shit, they killed the queen. I've got to go attack them. And so it just like, it just felt like, who is this for? What is the point of all this?
Right.
Like, I do think that, like, there are a few things I liked within that. I thought Shuri's arc was still good.
Yeah, I agree.
I think they could have done it better. But I liked that they had an idea for an arc for her.
And I can, even though like it could have been done better, I can still like I still feel like that's her character, you know, like it still feels like her character went through that arc. It could have been conveyed better, but like I still feel like I understand like where she started from, and that, and I believe that she like went through these things to get where she felt ended up, because I do think like you have the thing with like she's rejecting like the ancestry and their traditions and doesn't really believe in any of the Black Panther stuff, and I think like it's a really interesting conundrum when she does create the flower. I guess I kind of forgot like how they become Black Panther, so I was a little confused. I was like, why can't they just like put on the suit? But I forgot that they had to drink a flower. But then she drinks that, and then like she goes to the plane and then sees Killmonger, and it is like, I don't know. It's just like, it's an interesting thing because she is like trying to give herself over to this tradition, and it is kind of backfired on her. I think the turn is a little quick where it's like all of a sudden she's like, I need to kill everyone. It's a little extreme. I was like, all right, cool. And then the turn back to her normal self is also very quick where like she has a couple flashbacks and she's like, wait a second. I don't need to kill everyone.
Yeah, they fit in like a Chadwick montage, and then she had a change of heart.
She's like, "Yo, what am I doing?"
Which,
but I think the
whole
ending scene is really good.
Okay, which scene?
On the beach.
The beach scene.
I think that's like one of the best Marvel scenes I've seen.
Yes,
it's like one of the only Marvel scenes that has felt like a real movie.
I thought that the fight was good.
The fight was good. Oh, the beach. I meant, okay, you're talking about, let's talk about the fight. I'll talk about the other scene after, but talk about the fight. I thought the fight was good.
Because this is something that I've talked about a lot in Marvel. So, like, all the fighting has been not good in the past, the cinematography of fighting.
Yes.
I think it improved in this one. I think the fight scene on the bridge was good. I think, the fight in at the end in the climax was good. I think there's a lot of good fighting in this. And that was one thing that I think stood out. I think for me, though, the whole climax was just so bad that, like, by the time we got to the final scene, I kind of was like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was exciting because we just hadn't had... I mean, when she was, like, doing stuff on the side of that ship, I was like, man, this is really what this movie was missing. Because, like, it just didn't have, like, an exciting, like, hero at the center of
it's also
like, doing cool things.
It's ridiculous that whole final battle was just on this dumbass brick of a ship in the middle of the fucking ocean. Like,
that's definitely COVID restrictions, let me tell
you.
Yeah, those are major COVID restrictions.
When you have all of Wakanda, and, like, I mean, I know but the problem was they already did this other fight in, Wakanda, where they came in and, like, destroyed the city. But I'm like, you couldn't have set it anywhere remotely interesting. Like, you have to do it in the, ocean. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the climax has up and downs. Like, I like the stuff with maybe just them two fighting, but the bigger action with, like, the cast of characters, like you were saying, like the big armies fighting each other, does not work as well. I also think, like, it's been 4 years since the first Black Panther movie, and this Black Panther, like, CGI, the suit CGI, looks worse than the first one. And the first one looked really bad, but this one was, like, it was really bad. Like, she was walking on the beach. I was like, wow, that looks like fully, like, not a human. That is not a real person in that suit.
Yeah, not great.
It's crazy. We haven't really talked a lot about, like, the stuff going on with Marvel and VFX artists, but I think that was something that you could really see in this one and all of the other last recent movies.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
I think we saw it in Thor, but I think in like, there were some worse things, I think, in Thor. Like, I think there were a couple things that were a little bit better in this one, but I do agree.
Oh, yeah,
I think
so.
You can tell, like, the fact
that... Well, it's just, like, it was just so bad. It was, like, so weird.
Well, and I thought a lot of the Ironheart suit looked pretty funky, too. Like, the way
that like, her head, like, sticking out of it. I'm like... I also like how, like, they don't know how to make emotions with, like, the CGI mask. So they have to always, like, keep pressing the button where, like, the mask disappears digitally. And it's like, can't you just, like, figure out, like, how Spider-Man, like, how they make their eyes move and, like, use your hand motions, like, act without your face? Like, it's just funny. Because they don't want to animate that. The scene I was talking about with the beach was the very end when she burns the garments.
Oh, the credit scene.
Not the credit scene. Before the credits.
Oh, okay.
So when she has like another flashback.
Oh,
and
right.
It has like a big for a Marvel movie, like 30 seconds of no like background music or anything. And I thought that was a really nice, just a really well done scene. I think she acted it really well, and it wrapped up her again. Like that was a great way to wrap up her arc. So it made me like feel like she had a real arc, even though it was a little muddy, you know, it was a little like weirdly paced the middle of it, but it was a good like wrap up to the arc and like a good end cap on what her conversation with her mom was like, I guess, 30 minutes into the movie. So it was a good payoff there. And then, yeah, we can talk about the end credits or mid credit scene, I guess, because this movie has no end credit scene, even though I sat through the entire 10 minute credits.
Dude, why?
Because I thought there was an end credit scene. Why would I?
No,
I would have left.
You Google it. Google it.
I usually do. The theater I was at this time, they do not have service in the thing.
Yeah, you gotta go. So, you gotta know what you gotta wait for.
I usually Google it. This is the one time. Well, I also feel like I don't Google Marvel ones because I feel like it's a given now. Like, I'll Google like random, like, does the Banshees of Inisherin have an end credit scene? I didn't do that for that one. But I feel like I do it for a lot of like random movies now because you never know. Like, The Green Knight had an end credit scene, but this mid credit scene, mixed feelings. Like, I think it is cool and like also kind of a nice continues like the that theme, I guess, of like the like lineage and tradition, you know. I thought that was a good call, but it also felt a little bit like cheesy. I don't know. Like, it felt a little fan fiction-y.
Is he supposed to...
Like, it felt a little fan fiction-y.
Yeah.
Like, this is our long-lost child.
Is he supposed to be a part of the Young Avengers?
I have no clue. Okay. You're the Young Avengers head on.
Well,
on
yeah,
top,
but I didn't know that he was going to pop up, so he's not been on my radar, obviously, of right. Young Avengers.
Well, he's a little
kids.
Young. He's part of, like, the baby Avengers.
I'm thinking the time he rolls back around, I mean, like, Young Avengers isn't happening for... It's, like, not even on the list. Like, it's not happening for years, basically.
That's true.
So, that's why I was I was curious. Maybe. I mean, you look at, like, you know, Jet Klein and Julian Hillier. They're still only 13. I mean, that kid was probably...
Yeah, maybe he will be.
11, I would guess. He is playing younger, but he looked maybe 11.
Yeah, they can 11. Age him faster. Yeah, they'll be like, this was a little before.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things that's, like, I don't really have... I think it was cute, and I'm glad that, like, it kind of is, like, there is still family and stuff, and, like, mm-hmm. that Shuri has this relationship after having lost everything.
Definitely.
And, you know, I'm excited to see maybe how that'll tie in the future. Like, I don't think they'll use it a lot, but obviously it's important for something to be, like, legacy lives on and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that is powerful. At the same time, yeah, I think it's a little bit cheesy.
I think it's good that it was mid-credits and not
in the movie. Yeah,
in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that was a great call because they could have easily put it in the movie because it picks up right where the movie ends. But I think it was good to kind of separate it in that way. And it forgives a little bit more.
Yeah, like interested to see kind of once things, like, it's been a few weeks and they make comments on it. I'll be interested to see what they have to say about it and, like, what the motivation and intention is with it. Because I think that will kind of more solidify how I feel about it. Because I think I'm kind of still more open-ended on it, like, where I'm like,
right,
I don't really know how I feel about it, and so I need Ryan Coogler to tell me why it's there, and then I'll know how to feel about it.
Yeah, which you could argue is not great filmmaking, but, you know, it's also Marvel, so there's going to be things that they have to explain or that will make more sense a little bit later down the line. So I agree. I think it was, like I said, a nice moment. Not quite sure, like, it will, the cheesiness will depend on what they do in the future.
Yes.
If it's like they never talk about him again, then it's gonna be like, all right, I see how it is. But if it really is like something that will pop up later, then, you know, maybe it's just like introducing a new character, like, which is what most of the Marvel end credit scenes do. Did you know that I got a like a little thing on Twitter that it was just a little now over a year ago that Harry Styles was introduced to the MCU.
Damn.
Just wanted to make sure you were aware
thank you
of the
for
anniversary.
That. So other question is, you probably don't know the answer to this. Maybe you do.
I probably don't.
Is M'Baku the king now of Wakanda? Is that what that seemed to be what they were setting up? Where he was like, I'm going to challenge for the throne.
I could not
tell
you.
Shuri automatically the...
Well, because... Yeah, I thought that they said, like, you're the queen now. Like, someone said that, like, right when the queen died, which I thought, a little tasteless, guys. Like, come on.
But it also seemed, like, planned. Like, that she was, I'm going to do this, and M'Baku's going to take the throne. Which I think makes sense.
Makes sense, personally. Like, I think, because then she can focus more on, like, the technology and everything, rather than having to worry about, like, ruling.
And
I
like M'Baku. I think he's funny.
I think he's great. He's great.
I think he's a vibe. Yeah,
he is a vibe.
I guess, like, where does this stand for you in terms of, like, current phase 4 ranking? And, like, how does this make you feel looking forward at the rest of the MCU?
I would say, at least for the second question, how does it make me look forward? I think this is the one that has affected me the least in, like, how I'm looking at it forward, you know? Like, it hasn't depressed me to the point of wanting to never watch a movie again, which some of the Phase 4 I feel like might have. But it also doesn't get me, like, really excited to see what's next, you know?
Sure.
Like, I think it's, like, there are things about it that are interesting, but there are a couple things about it where, like, I mean, I don't know. It just kind of middle of the road. That's, and where it falls in my like weird rankings is like right in the middle. But I think, I'm trying to remember what all phase four are, but I think if I'm going through this, it'd be Doctor Strange at the top, then Spider-Man No Way Home, and then controversially Black Widow. I think Black Widow is a decent movie. And then Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, then Eternals is in this phase, right?
Yes, Eternals, Shang-Chi, right. And Love and Thunder.
Okay, right. Eternals, and then Love and Thunder, and then Shang-Chi. I'm sorry to all the Shang-Chi heads out there, but, you know, it's just not for me.
Not a good movie.
I gotta say, that movie is one that made me never want to watch a Marvel movie again. that and Thor Love and Thunder made me really question, like, wow, what am I doing with my life? This one just, yeah, I feel like kind of indifferent. I'm like, yeah, I'll watch the next one.
Yeah, I have No Way Home at one, Multiverse at two, and then yeah. I'm kind of torn between Black Widow and Black Panther. I think I maybe marginally like Black Panther a little less.
They're pretty
less,
similar.
But they're both like on the same plane for me, honestly.
There's good things, bad things.
And then I guess I like Thor Love and Thunder about the same as Shang-Chi. I don't really like either of them. And then Eternals would be my
way at the bottom.
It's
been a weird phase.
Loki though.
Loki is
number one of
Loki
phase
is
four.
One of the best things that Marvel's ever done.
Yeah, I'm a
we
big,
will die for Loki that the show.
Yes,
it's a great show.
I'm a big Loki guy.
Big Loki guy.
I definitely had a moment today where I was like, oh yes, we're gonna get like Mobius is gonna be in it again, and I was that made me really happy today when I thought about that.
Owen Wilson in the MCU was a great choice. Shout out to the casting director who got Owen Wilson involved. Is this the last phase? What's the last phase four thing?
Yeah.
This is the end.
Yeah, this because is, Quantumania okay. is the first movie of phase five.
All right. We're going to look this up right now. There is technically still going to be the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special.
Oh,
and that looks
shit,
like,
that's right.
That looks like it's it.
Okay, but
that
doesn't really
is
count.
Gonna be, that is going to be a vibe. Cannot wait. But
yes, okay.
I think that might make it, we could probably ask the question then, what is your favorite piece of media, because now this shows, from Marvel's Phase 4? Because we're basically finished now. So that can be any of the shows. Werewolf by Night is a special, so you could pick the special. Or any of the movies. So there's a lot
yeah,
of different
so there's
things.
There's 15 you can choose from out of
Jeez.
Released
oh,
content.
Goodness.
And then, well, probably 16 if you include What If.
Right.
So 16, and then 17 would be obviously the Christmas special, which we haven't seen. So all in all, there will be 17 right. total things, but you can choose from 16 of them, one of the shows.
I think it would be Loki. Definitely.
I think it would be Loki for me. I didn't watch Ms. Marvel or She-Hulk.
Do you like Loki better than Spider-Man No Way Home?
It's hard because I don't know, like, I understand that Spider-Man No Way Home is phase four, but it almost doesn't even feel like a phase four movie to me. Like, mm-hmm. it still feels like it's outside of the other stuff that's in this phase to me.
Right.
I mean, I like Spider-Man No Way Home better, but at the same time, it's like,
Loki feels a little bit more
Loki
phase
feels
four.
Like phase four to me. Spider-Man
right.
No Way Home does not feel like phase four, but
the fact that I've seen all of this except for What If
and
She-Hulk and Werewolf by Night is really depressing. Like, looking at this list, like, I can't believe I watched all of this.
Yeah, there's a few that I haven't seen. But yeah, so Phase 5 will obviously be kicking off with Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. We'll have Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, the Marvels,
yes.
The new Captain America movie, Thunderbolts, Blade, Secret Invasion, Echo, Loki Season 2, Ironheart Season 1, Agatha, oh Coven of Chaos, season one.
I can't believe the Agatha series is real. They Daredevil. Watched one. They saw like the three TikToks and they're like, guys, this is what we got to do. We got to make a whole series.
Yeah, so there's still a lot coming. So the next Marvel episode that we will be doing.
Ant-Man, right?
Will be February 21st.
Right.
And we will be talking about Ant-Man, Quantumania.
Though, we will be talking about the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special probably when we talk about 2022 Christmas content. But the next movie, yep, will be. I can't believe that's already February. That's crazy. Has there even been a trailer for that movie?
For Ant-Man? They yeah. played it in front of Black Panther.
I didn't see it in front of Black Panther. They didn't play it at mine.
That's crazy. They didn't play it in front of yours?
They played it. They played Avatar, Mission Impossible, and...
Three trailers? That's it? Ours played literally 30 minutes of trailers.
Because it was an IMAX, so they don't always show all the trailers there. So that question about what's your favorite piece of media from Marvel's Phase 4, you can answer on our email. Social media, which is Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, our website on Spotify, there's a way you can answer the question. Everything is in the show notes, so go down there, follow us, and answer that question, which will be read, those answers, in our next episode, which kind of unofficially, I don't know, kicks off the holiday season for the secondhand film critics. We will be talking about almost Christmas movies.
Yes.
With returning guest Joe Miller, who did a triple feature this year. These are movies that, similar to maybe like the November movies we were kind of talking about earlier in the episode, can be Christmas movies. Maybe they're set at Christmas. Maybe they have some Christmas thing in them, but they're not like Elf, right? They're not like fully like definitely Christmas.
Yeah, it's so bringing up the classic, is Die Hard a Christmas movie debate.
We will not be talking about Die Hard.
We will not be talking about Die Hard. Been there, done that.
We have a whole episode about Die Hard.
Yeah, but it's basically like, what makes a movie a Christmas movie? Why are these movies not Christmas movies? And we will each, it's like also a pseudo combo triple feature because we'll each be.
Right,
because
we'll each talk about one.
We'll talk about a few other movies, but we'll each be specifically talking about one movie that we each have picked that are almost Christmas, but not quite a Christmas movie.
Wow. That's going to be fun. I think it's a very original topic that we didn't come up with. Joe did. But
yes,
it is on our podcast. That's an original idea. And a lot of our ideas are not original. So really exciting. That and our Hallmark movie thing are going to be our trademarks. I don't really have anything else to say, though, after that.
I don't think I do either. I'm sure I'll think of something later that I was like, ah, damn, I hated that thing in that movie.
I'm trying to think of everything that happened in the movie.
I mean, one thing we didn't talk about was the opening, like, sort of Chadwick memorial, which was good.
Too short. I think they should have been more before he died. I also, like, are they saying that his death in the movie was similar to his death?
I think that's what they were trying to do.
Okay, I wish they were a little clearer about that, because I really just did not understand, like...
Yeah, it seemed like they were trying to make it sort of congruent with the real life.
Yeah, that's what I assumed, but...
Yeah, I thought did it was, think yeah, that the scene, memorial was that good. The opening scene was quite... Not the, like, not the opening scene, but the ceremony scene was very nice and seemed very well cared about. So
definitely. I don't have anything else. I'm sure again I'll think of something, but nothing of importance.
Yeah.
So until next time, I'm Noah.
And I'm Kayla. And we're your second
Your secondhand film critics.